And we praise the Lord for our wonderful, powerful God. It's great to see each of you this morning. We were so blessed to have some folks join the church this morning in the early service. And we thank God for bringing Brother Tom and Miss Mary our way. And we thank God for all that He is doing and looking forward to what He's going to do in the future. We thank God for our church. And it's good to see each of you tonight. It's good to see several that we didn't know was going to be here. Brother David Hayes back over there. He's the one with his leg propped up, I think. You got that up in the air? So when you go over, don't slap him on the knee or anything, but it's good to see him back in church. Good to see Brother John Young somewhere back there, and thank God for his safe procedure on Friday. And it's good to see each and every one of you this evening. Good to see Victoria Radford somewhere over there. There she is. So nice to have you back home for a short weekend, but praise the Lord. It's good to be back in church. Good to have you here, each and every one of you. And we're going to preach tonight about from a passage in Psalm 127, if you want to find your place there in Psalm 127. I did hear this story, though, while you're looking. I don't usually give you a joke on Sunday night, but the Lord blessed today, and you're lucky you came back. But I heard this story, you know, that it snowed up with some friends of ours in Ohio where we live, said it snowed 5 inches the other day. And so I heard about this story of these a couple that lived in Toledo. And on a winter morning, the couple was listening to the radio, as they often did. He gave instructions for travel and all that. And the announcer said, we're going to have 8 to 10 inches of snow. So they wanted everybody on certain streets to park on the even-numbered side. So that way they could snow plow and everybody get off on one side, or get off of the one side, let them snow plow come down through there. About a week later, another snow came through. And the announcer says, it's going to be more than was last week. And so it's going to be 10 to 12 inches. So we, for some reason, we're going to park on the odd side. And that way we can snowplow as much as possible. Well, as luck would have it, the next week it's even a bigger snow, and big enough that it was bringing some trees down and things like that. And the announcer said, "We're expecting 12 to 14 inches of snow. You must park." Electric went out and the radio went off, and the wife was so frantic. She said, "I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know which side to park on. I don't know. I don't know which one I'm supposed to park on. How am I going to know what I'm going to do? I can't look at everybody else." And her husband let it go on for a little while. She said, "I don't know what we're going to do. Which side I'm going to park on? I'm just going to guess. I don't know what to do. I have to look at the neighbors and see what they're doing." And finally, he said, "Honey, how about this time we just leave the car parked in the garage?" So now I could have turned that around and made the man go out and do it, but it wasn't the way the story was written when I saw it. So don't be mad, ladies. It's just the way it was. So I want to preach to you for a little while about vain building. A familiar psalm in Psalm 127. And oftentimes we'll use this, people will, as maybe a proof verse or a verse to for a ministry about putting the Lord in the center of the house. And that certainly would be applicable. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Goes on to say, "Lo, children, an heritage of the Lord is the fruit of the womb, is his reward, and arrows in the hand of the mighty man. So are children of the youth, and happy is the man that hath his quiver full." And some wonderful truths, of course, everywhere in the Bible. It's all inspired of God. But I think about this. It says in verse number 1, except, if it doesn't happens any other way, it's not going to work. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I want to preach for just a little while. We'll go into another section or two, but we'll look at these first two verses and talk about this vain building. Vain, V-A-I-N. They labor in vain that build it. I've been on different vacations before, as many of you have been, and sometimes you play with the kids. We've had places where you get a beach access and there's not a lot of folks around. Maybe you get a house or something, and you build those sandcastles down close to the ocean as it comes in, and you build it too close, and after that water comes up, then it just erases all that you had done, and it you take this elaborate design, and you work for hours upon it, and then in a few hours, the tide will come up and all your labor is erased. And the Bible says, not talking about sandcastles, but the Bible talks about if us, if we don't let the Lord be the one that builds the house, and be that your home, be that a church house, be whatever structure you're talking about, be that relationship, that marriage, whatever it is, unless you let the Lord build that, then you are building in vain, because it's not going to work if He doesn't. And so I want to preach for you just a little while about that, if God would help me for the next few moments. Dear Lord, we need Your touch. I pray that You would bless us. I pray, dear Lord, that You would meet with us, and I pray that You would help some people get some things nailed down tonight. Lord, may we quit building on unsure foundations. Lord, may we not be surprised when some structure falls, because, dear Lord, unless it's rooted in the bedrock of Your Word, then, Lord, it's certainly not going to survive. I pray that You'd help us as we look into it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I may have told you a little bit of this story, but my Amy was, I think, second grade, one of the kids were in, and so they were having a Christmas party for all of the grade, that whichever kid was in, and one of the moms had come in. She'd brought cupcakes in this box that she'd bought somewhere, and she had had them, but before she got there, she had to stop quickly in traffic, and that cupcake box of cupcakes toppled onto the floor, and they all just stay in the box, didn't get dirty, but just all messed around and got all of the icing mixed up and messed up. And Amy was trying to console us. It's all right. We got so much food, all of this stuff. And I happened to walk through, and I said, as sensitive as I am, I said, oh, they'll still taste just as good. And, you know, trying to be a little bit funny and a little bit consoling and what. And neither one was, she did not appreciate the humor, and she didn't seem consoled. So I failed on both parts. She looked back at me as after I said, but they'll still taste just as good, and the kid, the second graders won't care, and all these things that I could think of. And she said back to me, yes, but they're not Facebook pretty. And so if you're a second grader, your mom doesn't care about whether you have a good time or not. She just wants to use you as a Facebook prop. Insert child here. Cupcakes child. If it doesn't make a sense to have the cupcake without the child. And so we understand that sometimes we want to prop our lives up on things that are looks and not substance. We want things to appear a certain way, even if we can't have the real thing. You know it's true when you go to these fairs, you go to carnivals. I've been to camps before, one of which has a cowboy town. And the cowboy town, as you walk down through, there's a little ice cream parlor, and it's this, and it's this. And boy, oh boy, is it a shot to the kid's ego or to their mindset when they understand that it's not a little ice cream shop and a jail and a sheriff's office and all these other things in this cowboy town. That's just one long metal building behind there. They just put fake fronts on all across through there. We sometimes build our lives like that. We're more concerned about what people think about us than we are the substance of it. You understand that sometimes we can prop things up. We can prop our family image up. We may not get along. We may not be happy, but we sure want to make it look like that. You've seen that happen. Have seen it happen. Nothing. It's probably happened in your own car. You're riding to church, and you in the front, and your wife and the kids are in the back. They're fighting, screaming, clawing each other's eyes out if they could, and you're fighting against your wife and telling her how she didn't do right, and say, well, I would have done right if you'd have done right, and it's back and forth and all of that. And then you get in the parking lot and you open up those doors and you look across and say, hey, Preacher Lastly, it's good to see you. All of a sudden, you're the best Christian Buffalo Ridge has. We certainly want to put on a lot of times. And my friend, I'm not interested in trying to pin anybody to the wall to say, well, you're doing wrong or we're doing wrong. But I came tonight to tell you that we need to build our lives, our marriages, our families, our relationships, and our walk on the Lord. And truly, it comes in where the Word of God says, except the Lord build the house. And there are a lot of people laboring to make their life appear something right now in society. But except the Lord build the house. Our colleges, our universities are full of them. We are trying to prop up our lives. We're trying to find meaning. We are trying to find a reason for existence. We are trying to do all of these things. We're trying to facilitate a wealthy income. We're trying to do all of these things except do what the Word of God says. And that is, let the Lord build our house. There's people in this room, you're builders. You know how to take it from the ground level and pour the footer and then lay the block on that and put all of that substructure, all that, go all the way up to the shingles on the roof. You know how to do it from beginning to end. Well, the truth is found in this verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor and build that labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You understand that if you're a builder in this room, and you don't let somebody who's knowledgeable build, and you don't let them build where it's solid. As the Word of God says later in the New Testament, that he is like the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand, and when the winds come and the rains, then it takes it away. I want to give you three things, if the Lord will allow me. Number one, our labor is in vain without the Lord. That's what the Word of God says, that our labor is in vain without the Lord. You know, there's a lot of places. I come from West Virginia, that's home. Mom and Dad's still there, my brothers. And there's a lot of places you drive around those roads that are like here, many places, but you'll be driving around the side of a hill and there'll be what's just called a slip. Meaning that it's give way somewhere down the road, sometimes because they tried to put an access road in, sometimes because they put a little subdivision, they took too much of the hillside out, and then that thing just constantly gives way. Maybe there's a lot of water in there, and it just constantly stays wet, and every so often that road will just slip away. They'll come in, they'll put more pavement in, they'll put more pylons down in there, they'll put more lagstone in there, and they'll do it, and then eventually, unless they do a really good job, it'll just slip again. Because there's nothing solid down there. Until you get down to the bedrock, until you get down to something solid, you're wasting your time. And the Word of God says that our labor that we put in this life, oh, all of us want to have a nicer house, all of us want to have a better car, all of us want to have a different job or some different promotion in our job, all of us want to do this, that, or the other. But my friend, I'm telling you this evening that if we labor without the Lord in our lives and without the Lord directing our steps, we are bat swinging at flies and making a lot of motion, but we're not getting anywhere. You ever have your older brother, as you were trying to ride off in your bicycle, he'd grab you by the seat back and pick that up, and you're pedaling, but the back wheel isn't on the ground, it's not getting anywhere? That's the way our lives are sometimes. We're pedaling, but we're not getting anywhere because we're not getting any traction. You want to know why some of our relationships are leaving us so empty? Because we're not putting the Lord in the center of it. You want to know why some of our marriages are more like war zones than they are like a happy marriage? Because we're not putting Christ in the center of it. You know why the average church would more likely have a boxing match break out instead of a prayer meeting? Because we're not putting the Lord in the center of it. My friend, I'm just trying to tell us that our labor is in vain without the Lord. Are you letting the Lord, the master builder, do what He wants to do in your life? You say, preacher, what does He want me to do? He wants me to make every decision based on His Word and based on what would glorify Him. They call that having a biblical worldview, meaning that you make your decisions based on what would please the God of the book. Our labor is in vain without the Lord. But not only that, look on down in verse number 1. We see the labor, but then we see that our security also is in vain without the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord keepeth the city, the watchman. That means the person that would go around the walls of the city. He waketh, but in vain. Meaning that you can keep that watchman up there. You can keep a policeman. You can keep the night watchman going all that you want. But if you don't have the Lord watching over you, then security is in vain without the Lord. You understand the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 that horses are prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know who's keeping us going? The good Lord. You say, oh no, I go to the doctor every year and get a physical. I'm on this medication. I'm on that medication. I take supplements and vitamins and herbs and I do all of these things, and I'm glad for all that. That's all good. But remember that the Lord's the author of life. And we're living as long as He wants us to. And I think you ought to take care of what God's given you. I believe you ought to be careful to watch out for you're a steward of all that God's given you. You ought to be a good steward. Watch out for it. But remember this, that our security is of the Lord. I read some time ago about a personal airbag that you could buy. $1,400 if anybody's interested. I'd have to look it up on the internet again. $1,400. You strap a 2.5-foot self-inflating cushion on your back. It deploys with any sudden movement. Now, this particular model did not give any protection in your front. I'm assuming you were just ready for rear-end collisions. But somehow it immediately deployed and opened up so that if you were going to fall back, you'd be caught. Now, after that, I don't know whether you had to buy a new one or whether there was a rechargeable one for $1,400. But we've got to trust in the Lord, even if you do have that $1,400 personal airbag. You know that I heard about this church one time, and they were arguing about whether they should put paper towel dispensers or those push-button air dryers in their bathroom in the church lobby. They argued back and forth, unfortunately, like churches often do. So finally, the air dryers won out, and that's what they put in there, the push-button ones. And the pastor was so mad when they finally went in there and they had those new air dryers. Somebody had taken a penknife and scratched in there, push-button for a short message from our pastor. That's why we have hand towels. So, I don't know about your personal airbag, but I know if you have the personal airbag, that you're still going to have safety of the Lord. My friend, remember that we're in His hand. You want to know how secure we are? We're as secure as the Lord is secure. Again, I think that you ought to take care of yourself. You ought to do all these things. And that's certainly not an instruction to live reckless. So certainly not. God gives you a brain. You should use it too. But our safety is of the Lord. It's a proven fact that people that exercise and eat right die healthier. I'm just going to wait for the rest of you. Go ahead. And please don't misunderstand. This is not making light of treating your body wrong. God gives you one body. You should be a good steward of it. But you understand we can worship the creation more than we worship the Creator. There are people who worship health, and they are putting undue positions on their body. Take care of it. Be a good steward of it. Use it for God's glory. But remember that even the healthiest of the healthy, when the Lord wants them to come, they'll come on. So I see that not only our labor is in vain without the Lord, verse number one, and our security is in vain without the Lord. But then look at verse number two. Also, our concerns are vain without the Lord. What do you think this fellow's doing in verse number two? He's up early, sitting up late. Verse number two, it's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. If you had to guess, what would you do? What would you think that description is giving of somebody? I'd say he's worrying a whole lot. He's up early because he can't stay asleep. He's up late because he can't go to sleep. While he's up, he's eating the bread of sorrows. And I would say to you tonight that our concern, it's amazing how people, we justify things. Somebody says, oh, I'm not worrying, I just have Christian concern. How many of you heard that expression? How many of you, like me, you've never been able to figure out where one stops and the other starts? I tell people, say, well, that sounds a whole lot like worrying. I'm sorry, I wouldn't have known. Good thing you told me, because I wouldn't have known it was not worry. Well, our concerns are vain without the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, we act like we can change a situation by worrying. I cannot tell you the times I've told Amy that I need to quit thinking about something and I need to pray. I've told you about that time this fellow went to the doctor and he asked the doctor, well, what were we supposed to do? And he was in bad shape. And the doctor said, all you can do is pray. And that fellow put his head in his hands and said, oh no, has it come to that? And I've told Amy so many times, I need to quit thinking about it, I need to pray about it. And my friend, our concern about things, we act like we could change something just by fretting over it. There's an old saying that goes, don't borrow trouble that the interest is too high. Don't borrow trouble after from tomorrow because, number one, it may never come to pass. Number two, if it does come to pass, it won't help you to worry about it today. And we understand that our concerns or our worry are vain without the Lord. Vain, the definition of it is, meaning producing no results. Does it help you to worry staying up till 3 o'clock at night? Now, if you're going to have a prayer meeting, stay up till 3 o'clock and pray, then that does some good. That's not vain. But if all you're going to do is just sit there and worry, they say it's like a rocking chair. It goes back and forth, but doesn't go anywhere. Your worry is like that. It goes back and forth and does all this movement, but it doesn't go anywhere. My friend, I'm just telling you that our concerns and our worry, and it's vain for us to do that without the Lord, because our worries and our concern, none of that can change the meter of what's happening in our lives. My friend, I'm just trying to get us to say that we, if we're not careful, we consume our life with a lot of vain building. Oh, I don't doubt that everybody in this room is busy. Anybody got anything extra time? You're just looking for stuff to do? My father-in-law, he says, well, I can't believe I got retired and I thought I'd have all this time. He said, I wanted to go back to work several times because I had it easier there than I do after I got retired. You know what happens, you retired fellas? Everybody finds out you're retired. They say, well, he's got time because he doesn't do anything. Brother Larry Trent, right? Sometimes we think that we can just... Sometimes we think that we are so busy, and busyness somehow equates success or equates, wow, I'm really doing something. But if we're busy and we're busy doing things that are vain, V-A-I-N, not in the way of so concerned about my image, not vain, but vain as in like I described it, and the definition is producing no results, it's useless. Just because you have a plethora of motion doesn't mean we're doing right. Those little hamsters they put in those wheels, they just run. They don't get anywhere. You say, yeah, but that hamster's healthy. Well, maybe he is, but he's still in the cage. Doesn't help him much. He's not going anywhere. And I'm afraid that we, if we're not careful, we will fill our lives with useless motion. We'll think that we're fretting and we're staying up late at night trying to figure out how we can make something happen. My friend, if we're not staying up at night going to the King of Kings and say asking the Lord to do something, then you may want to check out the definition of worry. And our concern or worry is vain without the Lord. And then our safety. You may be staying up thinking, well, what about that? What about that? Our safety is of the Lord. Again, please don't misunderstand this sermon one bit. I'm not saying that you're careless and you're reckless and you just say, well, I'll go out and play in traffic and let the Lord keep me safe. Listen, those are unwise. God wants us to be safe and be smart and use our intelligence that He gave us. But after a certain point, when we are wise and we're using our intelligence and we do use what He gave us, then at that point we have to give it over to the Lord. Those parents in here, or grandparents in here, how many of you learned this lesson? You just got to give it to God. And if you know what I mean by that phrase, I got to give it to God. Some person said, tell God about it. He's up all night anyways. You don't have to stay up either, or as well. So I'm saying tonight that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Fear, doubt, and worry. Can I tell you that? They're like triplets from the same family that want to ruin us. Fear, doubt, and worry. And we'll spend so much of our time on those three things right there. You chronicle your week last week. How much time did you waste in fear, doubt, and worry? My friend, our concerns are vain without the Lord. So how am I doing in life? Am I laboring? Am I letting God build this thing? I'm submitting to you tonight that we let the Lord build our house, our personal lives. I would submit to us that every one of us ought to get this book out every day this week. And just say, Lord, I'm trying to put a stone in my life, and I don't want one stone to be not built on the foundation of the Word of God. Our personal life, our family, if it's just you and your spouse, or if that spouse has gone on to glory, or you're by yourself in some other form, fashion, then you say, my home, even though it's a small one, it's going to be built on the Word of God. And then our church. I love the phrase, I often use it, that I want our church to be a truly Bible-believing church. You say, don't you want to be a Baptist? Well, I am one. I guess if I thought somebody else was closer, I might be one of those, but I'm that too. But I love the definition, a Bible-believing church. Because we believe it from beginning to end. Like that one old fellow said, I like it from Kiver. He said Kiver. I like it from Kiver to Kiver. And I didn't like the Kiver because it says Holy Bible. A Bible-believing church. So if you're building your personal life, you're building your family, or we're together building this church on anything but the Word of God, and letting God thereby be the builder, then we are wasting our time and laboring in vain. What, my friend, is your life being built on? What are you putting the bricks of your life on? Are you putting them on the mirage of success? Are you putting them on the facade of happiness? Or are you letting the Lord build the house? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Don't let the fact that you're busy somehow fool you into thinking that you're doing right. You got to be busy doing the right things. And the right things is building your life upon the Lord, His Word, and letting Him be the master builder. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we're thankful so much for You allowing us the opportunity to come tonight and recommit our lives to building them on Your book. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will, from our hearts and from our seats, we will commit to You tonight to let You build our lives, and that we will commit to build our part of our lives on Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would push us to do that this evening. And my friend, as we're praying, if you've not been doing that, you say, how do I know if I've been doing that? Has this book been a major part of your life? Has it been a daily intake of it? Then I would suggest, if it's not, that you go back and say, all right, I'm going to do it. Take God up on His offer. Build your life on His book. If you're a Christian and you've not been doing that, then the message is very clear that you tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I'm going to let you get back in the building business on my life. I'm going to let You build. Except You build the house and I'm laboring in vain, I'm going to let You start building again. And if you are trying to build, then let me just pour gasoline on your fire and just say tonight, I will just keep on going. I will keep on putting bricks on the solid foundation of the Word of God. I will keep on building. Let the Lord build my life. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you don't even know all that I was talking about because your life is in shambles, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Oh, my friend, the only way for you to even begin building is to get on the solid foundation, get on the rock of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved tonight, I beg you to get saved before it's too late. Father, bless us now in this invitation time. We'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they play? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. The altar is open for you. The pews are here in the front if you'd like to come and pray in a more comfortable position. I want us to build our lives upon the book. Is the Lord building your life? Are you giving Him leeway? Are you giving the right of way at every turn? Oh, friend, let the Lord build your life the way He wants it. And would you build it solid on His foundation of His Word? Anybody at all, the altar's open for you. Tonight, perhaps you're unsaved. Would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit that would love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure you're saved on your way to heaven. The altar's open for you. Thank you. Let's make this the night that you said yes to Jesus. You want to build your life on His Word. Trust Him as your Savior. My friend, maybe you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. You've been saved, but you've not followed Christ in believer's baptism. But you'd like to do that. You want to be obedient to the Lord. We do it as soon as we get back into that auditorium. You could be baptized the first day we're back, if you like. If you've never been baptized after you got saved, but you'd like to take that step of obedience, would you step out and come? Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. You feel like this is where the Lord would have you come be a part of. Everybody needs a church home. And you feel like this would be yours. I'm going to ask you to play one more verse. If God's dealing with your heart about any of these things or anything else, would you come? Amen. Thank you. May look this way. What a blessing to be in church tonight. I thank you for coming. And we've got some wonderful news to report. Levi Wilcox has been saved for a good while, but he wants to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And so we're looking forward as soon as we get back over in the auditorium, we'll take care of that and let him follow Christ in believer's baptism in obedience. And we thank God for Brother Craig and Miss Molly. They've been a blessing since they've been here. And I believe God's put them into our church, and we're so thankful for them and their family. And Levi, I'm going to look forward to doing that. That's wonderful. So praise the Lord for that. And if you didn't get to meet Brother Tom and Miss Mary Morris back there, they joined in the 8:30 service. Maybe you're here at the 11. And they joined the church this morning. What a precious couple they are. And we're so thankful that God has put them here at Buffalo Ridge. And maybe you get by to see them as well. And we're thankful for all that God's doing. Thank you for being in church. Now, instructions for out there, I'm not sure what we'll do, but I'm going to have somebody pray, and I'll go out there and check it out for you to make sure it's all okay. All right, so I'll do that. Brother Daniel, you want to come pray for us?
All right, as you go. This is mic number one. All right. As you go out there, they do have individual cups for you to get when you come up to the table, so you just make their way up. They have several different kinds of popcorn, so I tried some before church, just so you know. I had caramel apple popcorn, so they have some of that out there. It's going to be a great time. So you stick around, you fellowship some. It's a beautiful evening out there, and we're so glad to have been able to be in church with you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in church, to have a church, and Lord, to worship you. Lord, what a joy it is. And Lord, what a great reminder this evening to build our lives upon you and on your truth. And Lord, we thank you for the truth that you've given. And Lord, we thank you so much for our church. We pray you bless as everyone goes this evening. I pray you bless the time of fellowship and all that you're doing. And Lord, I just pray that we'd have a good evening together and a great week this week as we look forward to serving you wherever you send us and wherever you scatter us this week. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you. And Lord, our hearts ready to share the good news of deliverance through Jesus Christ. And pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. You are dismissed. Thank you.
so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rise.